sometimes I forget. Perfection is nonsense, it's just the way it is. Life gets rough around the edges. Peace is just a perspective shift away. And Rebecca, Emily, and Kate are here to help. This is Mom struggling well. Cause we're all in this together. It's just Mom struggling well.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast, the podcast that helps you live your actual life so you don't need to run away from home. We believe perfection is nonsense and peace is a perspective shift away.
Right now, you're listening to what we call the main show, and we are here every other week in your ears. If you want to hear from us every single week, just pop on over your little self to patreon.com/momstrugglingwell to support the show and get those bonus video episodes that everyone loves so much. We also pick a Patreon Shrug of the Week to win a $50 Better Life Bag gift card at the end of every Patreon episode.
Every single one, guys.
Yeah, It's bribing, but you know.
Hey.
Okay, that's all right.
I want to thank these ladies for joining us since the last episode. Ready?
Mm-hmm. This has become one of my favorite parts, just so you know. Go ahead.
Alice Danielles. Anne McNeese, who she's been a guest on the show before.
Oh, yeah, I know that name.
Brianne McNulty, Brittany Tansey, Brittany Jovanovich, Daria Zagrella, Emma Bridge, Emmy, just Emmy, Erica Puskas, Gwen, gosh, you guys, Gwen.
They're making up names now.
They are.
Like, as they're entering their Patreon names.
I hope they all start being last
hit
name
the
Potito.
Keyboard.
Just lean your arm on the keyboard.
Lean your arm on the keyboard. Last name.
Good luck, Katie.
Oh, Gwen Dooch, Karina Tazukon, Kelly Hetrick, Lindsay Button, Mary Johnson, Nikki
I'm sorry,
White.
Button.
Rachel.
Her last name's
That's
Button.
So cute. Yeah, I hope she's a teacher in the Miss Button.
Oh,
a kindergarten teacher.
That's perfect. My daughter's little teacher was named Miss Pickle. It was perfect.
Oh, I love
it. What grade is little?
So, I mean, second, first, kindergarten. Younger than now, because I'm her teacher. And I am not Miss Button or Miss Pickle.
Yeah, a little less cute. Yeah. Sally Baker, Sarah Tikalski, Shelley W. Smith, Tonya Ryan, Teresa, and then Whitney Stiles. Dang it, Whitney Stiles signed up twice, and I saw that we had two Whitney Stiles. I didn't know what to do with myself, so I just wrote down on a sticky note, oh my gosh, we have two Whitney Stiles. What are the odds? And I looked into it. It's the same girl twice. And so I said, girl, we got to get you straight. You can't be on here twice. You're getting charged twice.
Oh, no.
So we're talking. We're going to get her straightened out.
Good.
Okay. And then finally, I want to take a minute to thank everyone that left an iTunes review in March. We are all done with that. So three of you received the Stash It or Trash It items that we are going to try for our spring version of Stash It or Trash It.
Who's going to stash it? Who's going to trash it? Yeah, it's time for Stash It or Trash It.
The three girls that are trying them with us are Tanya, Amber, and Chelsea. So get ready, ladies.
Yeah, I'm the only one who ate them all ahead of time. It was way too long to hold on to these.
I know.
Yeah. Okay, so what are we starting first?
Let's do the peeps first.
Peep. I will let you know, I hate peeps on a good day.
I think that they are universally hated, but these were kind of interesting to me. These are the Peeps Delights filled.
I don't think they're universally hated. Why are they still everywhere? Anyway, these are dipped in chocolate. I think that makes them promising.
Yes, I'm interested to see what the filling is like because they're quite flat.
You're
going to
be
filled.
Disappointed.
Oh, you just pulled his head right off.
Mm-hmm. I did.
Is that how you eat your peeps?
I don't know that I've ever. No. Mm-mm. No plan.
People like their peeps stale. Do you know that?
Oh, no. They leave them out for a while?
Mm-hmm. In the open air. I've never tried it.
In the open air.
I bet that would be better.
I don't think anything would make this better.
There's not much of a filling. Mm-hmm. I expected more.
So it's filled with caramel, but
barely a caramel in there.
Just a peep of caramel.
I'm going to say no way, Jose.
Okay.
I'm going to say they're better than regular peeps because they have a, you know, like a bottom crust of chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Gives it a little bite.
Yeah, maybe I'll pick that off and give the rest to the kids.
No, that would be a Hershey's bar, and you should just buy one of those
instead.
That's
a much better idea. Thank you. So would you say, Rebecca, you would have trashed?
I would not buy them again. Okay. But I did eat the entire bag. Okay. So
there you are.
So, you know, it's somewhere in the middle.
All right. Next, this was from Astrug, is Kit Kat Lemon Crisp. Somebody suggested this in the Facebook Patreon group.
Okay, can I tell you what I did? I was under the impression that I was purchasing online one bar of Kit Kats. So I was like, I'll get one for each person in the family. So I bought four. And then what I had bought was giant bags. And so we have been really hitting these pretty hard because we have so many. But they're lovely.
So good. It's the lightest lemon flavor. And I was thinking of you, Rebecca, when I had mine. They're a little white chocolatey.
I forgot to even get those. So I am missing out completely. I have no comments to add, except that I'm jealous of watching you guys eat your Kit Kats.
The good thing about it is, if you're listening to this today, the day after Easter, they're going to be on sale. So go get this Easter candy.
And they had them at Walmart, Target. They had them everywhere.
The last one are Key Lime M&Ms.
I had high hopes for those. I did not like them a little bit.
Oh, well, I expected that because you guys didn't like the sugar cookie. And these also had white chocolate. It was like a hint of lime. It was really yummy. I loved them, but I loved the sugar cookie ones too. So.
There was like a little bit of crust taste, and then it tasted a little bit like a lime Skittles, which I don't like.
Oh,
interesting.
I really like key lime pie, but I did not like what M&M's thought they were doing. So I would stash the Kit Kats.
And the rest, trash.
Trash it.
Right, the M&M's I didn't get to try, but I did send them out, and I really was tempted because I sent them all big bags of M&M's, and I couldn't find them for myself. I was like, I don't think they'd appreciate M&M's in a sock like I tried to do with you guys in Ohio.
You did do. You didn't just try to do it.
All right, that was fun. So today's topic is sibling conflict. What's your guys' ditch? Like, what do you, Emily, you always say that, that's the ditch that I fall into. So when it comes to sibling conflict and how you handle it, like parenting wise, or what ditch are they falling into? Just something about a ditch. Okay, go.
I tend to want to insert myself into every problem. Like I need the problem to stop instead of letting them work it out.
Yeah.
Or I like to, I'm sure I don't do it nearly as well as Jim and Lynn Jackson, the connected families people, but having them sit down and talk it out as like a whole group, listen to each other and all that kind of stuff. I've done it before and they don't like it. So they'll sort it out themselves to avoid having to sit down and talk to me about it. What about you guys?
I think I ignore it fairly well until I don't. So like I'm letting them try to work it out all day long. And then suddenly I just can't take it anymore. And I just flip a switch and I'm like, screaming, and like there was from 0 to 100, there was no in between, so they had no idea maybe they were bothering me.
Got it.
Or you know, like their fighting was, and it's not even necessarily fighting, it's hard to know when it's an actual fight or when it's just like loudness, like loud playing, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's hard for me to even decipher. So yeah,
sounds like you're very patient though.
Until I'm not. And then I'm like T-Rex mom. Like it's very scary.
My arms get real short.
You're like, oh no, it's happening. I feel like I just try to control everything. And so I would love to say that I help them work out conflict. I don't, because I just insert myself. I will control the situation. So no conflict arises at all. Mm-hmm. So I think that's doing an injustice.
It is different as they get older, and they're like, my kids see each other much less frequently than they used to.
Do you think that helped?
Yeah. All they just need to do is never see each other. Maybe they can be pen pals. Problem solved.
Good idea.
So I feel like it's important for people to know that they're not alone, right? That's what the show is about. And so I'm hearing a lot of people that have younger kids talking about being at their wit's end with tattling, with older siblings picking on the younger siblings and then them finding joy in it. And then you feel like your kid's a psychopath.
Mm-hmm. That is so normal. That's so normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, you know, the younger sibling wants to be the older one and the struggles there. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to try, kids want to grow up so fast, especially when they have an older sibling. And then, you know, teens and tweens and the way that their looks can literally crush your soul.
I'm very scared about that stage. I feel like I've had tiny little glimpses of it with Clara every now and then. Not necessarily Jonah. I don't know if it's a girl thing, but I am just not looking forward to those. Because I was definitely, I gave bad looks to my mom.
Did you? I know I did.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I was very sassy to her, I'm sure.
Okay, so let's talk about tattling then, because I do have some things that are helpful. Did I tell you guys they did an NPR show where they made a tattle phone that when you picked it up, you could tell your tattles and it would record it? The parents were fine and waivers and consents were signed, whatever. America's nutty that way. But anyway, and so it was just, that's a helpful way, like sometimes just getting it out. So like maybe have like an old phone and that they can just tell their tattles to, because they've got to get it out, but they don't necessarily need to put it in your ear.
That is so good. Like a voice memo. You can teach them how to leave a voice memo on an old phone. And they can just, you can listen to it later if you need to. It's just so you know what's going on, but you don't have to.
The hard thing is you don't want to tell them, I don't want to hear it, because what if it's a big deal? So it's kind of hard to know that. So you can like tell them, like, are you unsafe? Is somebody unsafe? You know, whatever. Right. But I have also heard like lower grades having Timmy the Tattle Turtle on the wall. Just go tell the tell the ear on the wall. So like maybe you come up with a way that way that you don't have to hear it.
It's genius.
It's funny because we feel like we would never want to tell Timmy the Tattle Turtle. That would not feel good to us. But we forget that it actually, where they are at developmentally, it feels good to them. Like, that's all they need.
Yeah. I think someone mentioned to always remember where our kids are developmentally can give us more compassion on why fighting happens so much. Like, they don't have the tools or maybe even the mental capacity to control their emotions yet. Mm-hmm. I know it's hard for me to control my emotions. So,
no kidding.
Like,
yeah.
I can't. When somebody takes their toy or like kills them in Minecraft, that's a big fight at my house.
Oh, yeah.
They just go off, but they don't quite know how to handle the way they're feeling. So that's part of our job, is to teach them.
And we can invalidate it because we're like, do you have any idea how much my electric bill was this month?
Right.
You are worried about dying in Minecraft.
Right.
I am worried about dying in real life. You know?
You respawn. You're respawning. But I lost all my inventory. Go cut down some trees. I don't know.
Oh my gosh, you are speaking the language of the Ordway house.
That is so funny.
Speaking of Minecraft, skipping ahead to what's working well for people, somebody said chore charts. And then they said, the real answer, Minecraft. It's true. Minecraft is really helping my kids get along.
How? Tell us more.
Yeah, because I feel like I'm breaking up virtual fights and real fights in my family now. So,
okay.
Tell me more, because maybe I'm not doing it right.
I've signed up my oldest kid for a virtual camp where he can learn how to create worlds in Minecraft. And I am not pro all video games. Like, I am having a very hard time with Fortnite, but because I am helping them with Minecraft, like, let's get you all sorted in. Then you can teach Joni. And now Joni feels like, oh, I'm included. And he feels like, I'm bigger and I'm older and I get this responsibility. Okay. They're really coming together as a team with that.
Interesting. That's cool.
Maybe they're just not
report back in 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No, that's great.
Okay, so I have a question. This is kind of a dumb question, but so Porter doesn't have any video games. He's Amish. And he's been really cool about it, and he's trying to like save up his own money for it. But if I get a Nintendo Switch, is that what we're doing? What do I do if I want to break into video games? Like, he has a digital camera, poor guy. He's going to get beat up every day if I don't fix this.
No, he's going to be a famous photographer.
Okay.
Perspective shift. You can do Minecraft on a computer. You can do Minecraft on a Switch. That's
or
all
an
I know.
iPad.
Oh, really? Okay. So I was just wondering, if I get a Nintendo Switch, is a PS4 better?
Oh, girl. I don't know.
Or is the devil in the PS4? I'm not sure what's happening.
Might be.
I don't know. Okay. We have the Switch. We can play like Mario Kart and like that dance Just Dance evolution.
Just Dance is something that I'm hearing people have a lot of family fun with.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think you can put boundaries around it that do, like you said, Katie, bring your family closer together. Like, we'll have Mario Kart competitions or, like, and we've danced together with Just Dance.
Can you put it on your big screen?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
From the Switch?
Or you can have it handheld.
Okay.
So that's what this, I don't know anything about PS4, like zero. I don't even know what PS stands for, but.
PlayStation.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Okay. I just remember when you had to, like, take the game out and blow in the bottom of it. Yeah. That's where I'm at. This episode is brought to you in part by PrepDish. I really think this is your year to try PrepDish. I'm feeling it. And if you use code MSW, you'll get 2 weeks for free. Free meal planning? Yes, please. Meal prepping makes me feel like such a winner, and Allison and her crew have created all kinds of meal plans to keep your family healthy and happy too. There are 3 different types of meal plans you can choose from, and every one of them is based on whole foods, so you can't go wrong. So you download and print your weekly grocery list, and then you shop for exactly what you need to make the meals for the entire week. You come home and follow simple instructions on how to prep for a whole week full of meals. Allison has laid the steps out in the fastest and simplest of ways. I pop on my favorite music and find this to be one of my favorite parts of the week. During the week at dinner time, you simply heat, eat, and enjoy healthy meals. This week I ordered groceries in less than 10 minutes online because my meals were already planned and my grocery list was already made. Thanks, Allison. I spent under $60 on items I needed for dinner throughout the week, and I know that my husband can take it from there in case I get home late. I feel great about this plan because I already did all the work ahead of time, and I know that the heating instructions are simple. Head to prepdish.com/MSW today to get 2 free weeks of meal plans from PrepDish. That's prepdish.com/MSW for 2 free weeks, and let them help you today.
Speaking of video games, somebody wrote in with a funny sibling story about how her and her sister would watch TV while her brother played some game thing in another room, and her sister would fight a lot, but they would join forces and turn off the breaker to the room that the brother was in, and then they would just listen for him to freak out.
That is so messed up. When I was little, you know, we have older cousins, Michael and Matthew, and I wanted them, they were the coolest, you know, like the older cousins are, and they were almost winning the crown at Mario, or I don't even know what happened. They were almost done with the whole situation. Yeah, and I tripped over the cord, and I lost it all for them, and I thought, I think they don't think I'm cool now.
I think you were right. Okay, so some of the perspective shifts that Struggs had. Erin Granger was the one that said that we need to remember that developmentally, their brains aren't fully formed. And it's easy for us to forget that.
I really was not on board with that. Even though, like, I had taken lots of child development classes, I feel like when I was first a mom, and I'm only saying this, I mean, it's super embarrassing, but I'm only saying this in case it helps somebody like me. I felt like some of that was, like, excuses for them acting ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's so hard. We're in the culture where everybody gets a trophy. And, you know, I felt like some of the things that parenting books were telling me to do were just ridiculous. But there is some actual science behind where they're at and what they can handle. I could understand babies, like object permanence. You go away, they think you no longer exist. I get that. As they get older, I started thinking, you're basically like a short me. But you're not. There's just things that they can't do yet. And so it took me a long time to come around to that. And I think that I would have been a much more chill mom if I could have had that right perspective.
Yeah.
So do a little research. That doesn't mean you get to let your kids get away with everything. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I felt like, for example, when we have to, like, distract them so that they stop doing the thing that they're not supposed to be doing. I thought that was like, no, you should just stop. Like, but there's some impulse control stuff that they just literally don't have.
One thing that I didn't know at the beginning that I wish I'd know now is this is like training ground for adulthood for them. Like having siblings, and a lot of Struggs said this too in the things they wrote in. And it's so good to remember. It kind of takes you out of the whole emotional aspect of it and into a more like trainer coach position with your kids when they're fighting, because you're training them how to have healthy conflict and how to resolve conflict, and might not be so great that I don't have skills in that area, myself, like in so many more things besides conflict with siblings. Our house is this training ground of raising our kids and letting them go. Like, we're raising them with the purpose of they're going to be self-sufficient adults someday. And they're not going to go from Maisie, completely dependent, to an 18-year-old. There's a progression of giving independence and testing things out and failing and coming back. See it as a training ground helps me to be more compassionate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's important in every situation with both sides of whatever conflict to let them know where they have the power. Some of the conflict comes from them feeling powerless. So if you can let them know you have control over your tone of voice, or you are control of your body. And
It's so hard for me to remember I am your coach and my actual goal is to launch you into being a great person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like I'm failing at that.
No.
And I don't mean like day to day. Day to day, I'm doing just fine, I suppose. But I feel like I hold on so tightly, you lose sight of what the big picture is. I feel like I'm going to screw that up. Just sharing, not looking for. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Regarding sibling conflict, you hold on tightly, or where do you?
Yeah, just like all of it. Like, well, I'm just going to separate you, and then you won't have a chance to figure it out because I want to control this particular toothbrushing session.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it's easier too to do that. It's much easier to make them just go to your own rooms and then emotions come down and we can all come back. But to not revisit it does them a disservice.
Yeah.
And I'm not great at revisiting either.
I will revisit until, I mean, the horse is beaten. It's just a,
a pile and I feel on like the ground. I fail there too. It feels like it's a big fail all the time.
Did you see the Strug who suggested, it was very controversial as to who this originally came from. There was multiple influencer names out there. But if they're in an argument, say, okay, do you want a consequence or a conversation? And I was like, that is really, maybe I won't use that every time, but they get the choice. Do I want a consequence or do I want to sit here and listen to you talk to me about why this wasn't a good idea? And maybe this is for a conflict that they already know why it's wrong. You know, you've already had a conversation, so you could go either way with it, but, and make that conversation like 12 hours long, you know?
Get comfortable, kids.
But
go get a snack.
I like it too.
I'm the one that said that originally.
Look at you.
Source was unknown. Emily Pony wrote in, said that her kids do laps as a consequence, especially for fighting. And I really like the exercise, but less as a consequence because I want them to have that. I think we just talked about this a couple of episodes ago. I want them to have that. It's a good outlet, especially if you're doing it with them. I have a friend whose husband was in the Army. The dad would be like, let's go wall squats. And so they'd have to sit on a wall. And those kids are incredibly well behaved. But what she does is...
I thought you were going to say in shape.
Yeah, very large quads.
They're quite physically thin as well, yes. But what she does is she's like, let's go put on our running shoes. And they go run together. I just love that. It's a team building thing. So I do... I'm down for exercise as a consequence, but less of a consequence and more as a...
And that's all about how you present it. If everybody's, you know, mad, you can be like, let's put on our shoes. We're going out. And you know, it's like kind of a consequence, but they don't think it is.
Yeah. When Neil and I fight, just thinking about two adults, I need to go to a separate room for a little bit, you know? So I think like go to your room is an okay thing. Neil wants to just fight it all out and get it all out on the table and work through it, yell until we've worked through it all. And it's never been successful when we do that. And so I do think like sending them to their room is a good, or going for the run and then coming home and being like, okay, now let's talk about what just happened or something. Yeah.
I think telling them, at least in my house, go to your room, they're not, they just won't do it. I mean, they will, but it's like, then the fight is now about, I just asked you to go to your room for 10 minutes. And now we're like having a whole conversation about that. So what, again, Jim and Lynn Jackson said is for sensory purposes, tell them to go find a comfortable place in their house.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll meet back in 10 minutes and maybe like start a timer. And so then who doesn't want to go get comfortable? Yeah. And who doesn't want the, you know, the control over where that is?
Yeah.
So I don't know. That kind of helps us.
Your suggestions are about empowering them. And I think that's because you're raising an 8 who is very headstrong.
She will not be unempowered. I've been trying. It's not working.
I was thinking about that verse in the Bible that says, even just like right before we hopped on this call.
God bless the mother of an 8.
Yes. Yeah, that one. The train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it. Mm-hmm. He should go. It's so individualistic to the child. Mm-hmm. It's not like raise up the child in the way you want them to go or the way you think they should go, and they won't depart from it. If you do that, they're going to depart from the way that you wanted them to go.
Sure.
But I think learning our kids' personalities is so key to conflict resolution, to know, okay, this kid needs some time. Mm-hmm. Or this kid needs to write out his feelings, or this kid needs to go for a run. And I don't think it's something you can know right away. I feel like I'm just starting to get to know my 10 and 11 year olds' personalities, but to see them as like subjects of study is really kind of fun.
That's really good. I think also keeping an open mind, because we come into parenting going, well, this worked with me, so this will work with my kids. And then sometimes when we go, well, that didn't work, then we think, well, this is works for this one kid. And kids tend to be really worried about fair. And so sometimes I over worry that they're going to think something's unfair. But I think that helping them understand we're all so different. It is, well, number one, life's not fair. I'm so sorry to be the one to tell you that. But this is me parenting this kid to the best of my ability. It's going to look different than you, because my kids could not be more polar opposite. So yeah, consequences have to look really different. Motivations have to look really different.
Something that I think is helpful to help me remember to be quiet if I don't have anything nice to say, or to not come up with a consequence in the moment if I'm upset and it's just going to be something crazy that will probably be a consequence to me as well.
Yeah. Those are the worst.
Yeah. Is to come up with a mantra or something that you can say every time that's clear. Like, oh, I'm not going to be able to think of one right now, but it helped me last summer. I remember last summer having a really hard time, and it was, I'm your mother and I love you and I will not be changing my mind at this time, or something like that, to where they knew she's going to say that for eternity until I leave the room. So let me just leave the room right now.
I remember Tina had for a while, she would say, asked and answered. You asked, I answered. We're done. Asked and answered.
I like that. Joni asked me at dinner last night. She said, Mom, what does it mean when you say period at the end of saying something?
It means I'm mad.
Yeah.
Eric, he spent a little time in England and I did too. So we both say full stop. That's not really helpful, but it means period.
I didn't know that he spent time in England.
He had a British girlfriend. What?
That's poppycock.
It is balderdash. I am not kidding.
Okay. Do you guys have any resources? We mentioned Jim and Lynn Jackson from Connected Families.
I really like Paul David Tripp, and he has a book on parenting that I'm sure is going to be really good. The subtitle is 14 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family. That can't be a bad thing. However, I bought it on Audible, and I need to see it and underline it. So I know that I will like it. I can't say that I have finished it because I still need to buy the paper book.
That's funny that you want a paper book, because I won't sit down and read a parenting book. I just will not do it. But I started listening to Triggers. Do you guys know her?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's Amber Leah and Wendy Speak. And I got it in Audible because every chapter is something different, and it's like a bite-sized digestible thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really helpful. I will sometimes, again, I'm a little abrasive, but when they ask me something and I say no, when they ask it again, I will put up two fingers and say, still a no. And if they ask me again, just so that they know, I know that you know that we know, we all know you're keeping on asking and I'm keeping on saying no. And then I would say, I'd really love to retire this conversation. Can this conversation be part of our past? Thanks a million.
Been loving these books. They're from Parent Q, who you can follow on Instagram as well. they have one for every grade. So parenting your kindergartner, parenting your fourth grader and your third grader. And like the subtitle for kindergarten is a guide to making most of the look at me phase. Hmm. It takes you through like what phase your kid's going through. So the fourth grader is going through the I've got this phase. The third grader is the sounds like fun. It's like a workbook, so you can write in it. I clearly have not, but it's a workbook with things you can learn about that specific age of your kid developmentally and kind of what they're going through. It's been really interesting.
That's good. Is the subtitle of the seventh graders the you're the worst phase?
Actually, there probably is. I'm not. Let me look it up. Just so you can know.
I've been looking at those, and I'm so glad that you have them. So now I can ask you, did you buy them all at once, all together?
I didn't. I just bought the ones that I needed. And then I figure I won't keep buying them five times. You know, like they're really personal where you can write like things that your specific fourth grader is struggling with. That's what the journal part is.
Yeah.
I think I'll just keep, as all my kids go through fourth grade, I'll have like one book to look at.
Yeah.
The
seventh grader, is the who's going phase. So it's like they want to be.
True. It's so true.
Mm-hmm. I'm pumped up about that. I'm going to get those because I'm just now, you know, starting kindergarten, second grade.
And they're fun little baby books. Like you can write things that you want to remember about, you know, something that happened in kindergarten or something.
One Strug suggested the account Our Mama Village on Instagram.
This looks good. Educational. Okay. I might follow them. Follow.
It's no secret that we are juggling a lot these days. Jobs, families, budgets. Not to mention the emotional baggage of 2020. It's also been tough for the kids and wacky school schedules, and you know how it is. We've all heard and read about the amazing benefits of yoga, right? You get increased strength, better flexibility, you have better mental focus, all of that. But many of us have tried yoga and never gone back. Or maybe you're afraid to try it. I know I was. I was so intimidated by the whole thing. Enter Bulldog Yoga. Bulldog Yoga Online is about taking the intimidation out of yoga and replacing it with music, smiles, and no judgment. Bulldog Online is about to make yoga fun. Yes, fun. Bulldog streaming online classes are available on demand anytime, any place on your schedule. Bulldog even offers classes for kids and teens so you can get your bulldog on and get moving with the whole family. Bulldog online classes are easy to follow and set to a great playlist meant to motivate and keep you and your family smiling through the movement. There are choices for all levels, beginner classes or heart pumping workouts, and there are tons of class length options to fit your schedule. So you can go from 12 minutes up to 60 minutes. I have been trying Bulldog yoga and I know that I've talked about it before on the show as a giving me life. I would say that I'm kind of an intermediate yoga person and I really love the challenge. These chicks are super cool and the music is great and they get the job done. I don't have to do any other workouts. Some of them are a challenge and it gets my cardio in for the day and my stretching. Try your first 30 days free at bulldogonline.com. That's bulldogonline.com. Use code MSW for additional 50% off your first paid month. Again, bulldogonline.com, coupon code MSW.
Okay, well, we are starting something new because our Facebook group that's for the Patreon members has been full of so much wisdom that I walk away learning something new every time someone posts something in there. So we thought it would be fun to bring some of that wisdom here to the podcasts. So we are going to be asking every episode for some big sisters. So if you've walked this road before us, you have older kids, you have adult sibling children, call this number that Katie's going to give you in a second and give us a little one-liner or a tip, and we might put your voice recording on the next episode so we can all learn from each other.
I love it.
And it's another Patreon perk, right? Because the Patreon members are the ones that are going to be hearing from these big sisters.
So it goes on the Patreon episodes.
Yeah, kind of like a follow-up.
Okay.
That's right. So next week's episode, the big sister recordings from sibling relationships will be played.
Yeah, so you can call 203-871-1683. Program that into your phone. That's the Mom Struggling Well line.
Call it.
Say it again.
203-871-1683.
I love it.
Aww.
It's good.
Do we have a fun voice recording on there? Can we, like, do a rap? Ooh, remember when you used to do those in the 90s?
Oh, Do you want me to sing the one we did when we were little?
Yeah, Anna. 1, 2, 3.
At 833-2066, missing your call just made us sick. But you reached our number. You reached our phone. Leave a message at the sound of the tone.
Those were the best days. Yeah. Why don't we do that anymore?
Yeah. We don't have really cool answering machines anymore. Okay, Rebecca, let's do Giving Me Life, Killing Me Softly. What's killing you softly?
Giving me life, killing me softly.
Mine is fresh on the mind because it happened today.
All right.
So, earlier, Corbin came to me and said, there's a problem in the bathroom. Somebody forgot to flush. Well, I was in the middle of like a bajillion things. I was like, can you flush it and clean up what you need to? Like, he's like, there's pee on the seat and somebody didn't flush. So I look at him, it's like, I am not coming to help you. You need to flush it and wipe the seat. You know, independence, we're teaching. Mm-hmm. Well, hours later, I'm getting a stench of poop, which is not unusual in my house. There's usually poop on some wall smeared everywhere all the time. I'm always finding it. But I couldn't find it in the bathroom. I was looking behind the toilet, behind the doors, like, where did somebody wipe their poop today? So I decide to clean from top to bottom until I find the poop and get rid of the smell because it's terrible. Well, I finally get to the toilet and I open it up and it is so clogged with toilet paper and poop and pee. Who knows how many people? It looks like a porta potty down there. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
So I immediately do this big, like, oh my God. And they all come running. I get the plunger and I start going at it and it is spraying poop water all over me. Why are plungers the only tool we have for this? It's the worst.
It is bad.
So poop water is being flung on me. The song playing in my AirPods, I wrote it down because it was just too good, was Hillsong's Even When It Hurts song. Like, Still I Will Praise You. And like, Even When It Hurts, Even When It Feels Like Hell or something. Like, they say that in there. Still I Will Praise You. So I'm like plunging along to this song. And at one point it says that they'll worship a little louder. I literally just am screaming while I'm plunging in the toilet because there's poop water flying.
Screaming, just praise Jesus.
I'm hoping it's like translating into worship, but it's just a scream. It's just like, oh my gosh. Jonah was like, I can do it, Mom. I was like, no, just leave. Just leave me alone.
Oh my gosh.
There needs to be a different solution than a plunger. Is that the best we can come up with in 2021?
Perhaps you could get like a different plunger. I don't know.
I've gone through a couple different shapes and sizes, and they all seem to spray water the wrong direction every time. It might be the way I'm plunging. I also am going to come back to this after we get off this podcast. I'm going to teach my kids how much toilet paper to use. And if they need to use a lot of toilet paper, flush halfway through. Like, you don't have to wait till the end. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got a lot going, let's just flush half of it down. Keep using the toilet paper and then we can flush the other half later instead of piling it all in there.
At work, because some people like to do some special things with toilet paper, we give some people like 10 squares at a time. Mm-hmm. That'd be a lot to manage, but you could, for the repeat offenders, you could put them on a ration.
Yeah, ration, which was a deal back at the beginning of COVID. Remember that?
It surely was. Mm-hmm.
So anyways, changed my clothes. We're all good. Oh, on the poops now.
What's killing you softly?
My feet. So I went to the doctor, figure out what's going on with my ankle. He was very smart and very kind and quite busy. The office was a bustle. And he said sheath 100,000 times. So I'm getting a good idea of what's wrong with my sheath. There's fluid in the sheath. Okay. Overuse of a tendon. So anyway, I'm feeling good about my ankle. He's getting me sorted. And as I was getting ready to put my sock back on, I was like, I realize you guys are super dupe busy, but here on this same foot happens to be a boo-boo on my toe. If you could have a look, it always hurts. I think my bone just kind of like maybe sticks out or something, just barely, but it surely does hurt. And he said, let me have a look. He touched it and he didn't feel anything. It looks exactly like all my other toes. He said nothing about the sheath of this toe. I don't know if they have sheaths. And he said, Let's look on the x-ray, because we happen to have an x-ray right here. Boop, he looked. He said, you have a tumor on your toe, a bone tumor. What? And I almost didn't even ask about it because they were so busy. And he's like, do you see that? He said that to the girl next to him. And she's like, I do.
And did you say, why did you not see that sooner?
I mean, they weren't looking. They were looking specifically at the sheath. So anyway, I'm so happy that I asked. And he's like, I am so glad that you brought this up today. And he's like, you are exactly right on. He said, you're missing part of your bone. And in place of the bone is a bone tumor. So the rational part of my brain is like, he wasn't worried. I'm going to go back and check that out. It's going to be super fine. But then the part of my brain that just had my mom die of cancer is like, wow, I need this out of my body. So like every time I think about it, I get completely nauseous. So it's not my favorite thing. However, I don't think it's a big deal. And they did tell me not to Google it. So I have not Googled it.
What's the follow-up?
I'm getting some imaging done this week. And then I follow up in 4 weeks. And we're going to look at the imaging, check on the sheath.
I say cut that toe off.
I say cut it off right there.
Oh, absolutely. So he's like, surgery is an option. He really said nothing about it, except for, so glad you brought it to my attention. Let's have a closer look. Come on back. Okay. And we'll get that taken care of. Don't Google it. So can you guys Google it? Let me know.
Yes, I will. I'm great to.
But here's the deal. I have had it a very long time, so I don't think that 4 weeks is going to hurt. I've had it for so long that I just thought I had a toe that hurt forever. So anyway, guys, go to the doctor. It takes so much time. It is so painful to make calls and figure out the insurance and get the referrals, but just go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Because I'm finding so much out.
That you think are stupid. You know, just mention them, even if it turns out to be nothing.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. All right.
What's killing you softly?
Interestingly, it's also my foot. I have a tumor in the sheath. No, I'm just kidding. You guys, I wish you could see. Katie literally had a mini panic attack. My left foot is now larger than my right foot, and it makes it very difficult to do anything because my left foot always has blisters, but my right foot doesn't. My right foot's like looking at the left foot like, what are you doing? The left foot's like, it's so tight in here.
So how does this happen? When did it start?
Can you cater to the left foot and get a bigger shoe?
I guess, but I just bought all these teaks. I just bought all these new shoes, right? And my left foot's like not having it. And I thought you only get like misshapen feet if you wear high heels. I've never worn. I don't even wear I wear flat only. So, but before business casual hit me, I wear a lot of sandals, like Birkenstocks and stuff. And so I think it wasn't a problem. And then now it's a problem. So I don't exactly know how to fix 1 foot expansion.
So I have two things to say about this. One, I think it's kind of common to have 1 foot be bigger than the other.
It's not longer, it's wider.
Oh, it's wider.
And it didn't used to be wider. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Sorry, did you have another thing to say?
Well, the only other thing I was going to say is that it's because of that, when I was thinking it was longer, a lot of people have like one foot that's half size bigger. Mm-hmm. But yet you cannot buy shoes except if they match. Like they check that at every shoe
store.
They
do.
Is this a size 8? Is this a size 8?
That's discrimination.
It is discrimination. Let's start a hashtag.
I need a wide width left and a regular width right.
Interesting.
Not sure what to do about it. I heard the Chinese used to do foot binding.
Yeah, try it.
Maybe I bind the left foot.
Yeah.
Maybe you just buy a size bigger in both shoes and one can just be floppy and the other one can be comfortable.
So floppy shoes, that's not fun either.
I'm picturing you walking down the hall.
Not even trying to hide your laughter.
So much for that ninja silence on the teak. It'll just be like, blop,
blop, blop. Only every other one, though.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. Normal, blop, normal, blop.
Only half a problem. Okay.
I'm blind. Well, not exactly blind. It's just when I'm driving, I can't always see the street signs, which doesn't seem to be a huge problem for me, but my husband is a little bit worried about it. So I try to wear glasses when I drive, but I hate going to the optometrist, trying on glasses, and waiting a bajillion years for them to come. I need something easy. At Coastal.com, you can get prescription glasses starting at just $9 with free shipping and 60-day risk-free returns. Plus, they have the most advanced virtual try-on technology that you'll find anywhere, which means you can upload your face to the website and actually see what the glasses look like on your face. You can turn your frames into sunglasses by testing out the colored lens, or finally see what a cat eye or aviator would really look like on your face right on your phone. On me, they look terrible. I can't do cat eye. I look like my grandpa. With Coastal, you don't have to spend hours at the store or hundreds of dollars to get a new style. Just go to Coastal.com, pick the frames you want, enter your prescription details, and your glasses will arrive in just a few days. I did this. Hardest part, deciding which style I wanted. I tried so many glasses on my little face picture thingy and finally decided to go a little bit crazy and get some blue frames with some teal sticks that go behind your ears. What are those things called on the glasses? I'm not sure, but they look so great. And I was so impressed when I got them. They're heavy duty quality glasses. I could even sort on their website by size, knowing that I wanted some big ones. And I love my glasses and been getting compliments from you on Instagram. So thank you very much. Coastal has over 2,000 frames to choose from and 24-hour customer support. We're talking about Newsweek's America's Best Customer Service. Congratulations, Coastal. That is amazing. And when you buy a pair from Coastal, you can donate a pair to someone in need in just one click at no extra cost to you. To date, Coastal has given more than 500,000 pairs of glasses to people in need across the world, starting at $9. No need to leave the sofa. This is the new way to shop for glasses. Coastal.com. Now and for a limited time, they're offering our listeners the best deal they have going anywhere on the internet. 30% off your first pair of glasses at coastal.com/MSW3030. Get free shipping, 60-day risk-free returns, and 30% off at coastal.com/MSW30. Discount will be applied at the checkout. It's only for a limited time, so don't you sit and wait. Go do it now. It's spelled coastal.com/MSW30. Some restrictions apply. Don't they always?
I had one more thing about my feet that's going wrong. I also have athlete's foot, and I am not an athlete, and I do not go anywhere, so I do not wear shoes, so I do not know how in the world I got athlete's foot.
Next, you don't know how?
Next subject.
Because it's a fungus.
Not taking comments on this. No comments. No concerns. Okay. No conversations.
Okay, well.
Rebecca, what's giving life?
I got a new phone case for my iPhone. It's called a Casely, and it charges my phone once I run out of batteries.
No, it does not.
You charge the phone like normal at night, but it's going to charge your phone and the case. And then when you get down to like 20% or whatever, you push this little button on the back of the case and it's a phone charger. So then it charges my phone back up to 100. Isn't that crazy?
Insane.
It makes my phone very heavy. I think this is new technology that I'll be excited to really have in 5 years, probably. It'll be much lighter. But it's worth it because my phone is always dead by the end of the day, and lately it has not.
My phone's almost dead right now. It's 2 in the afternoon.
You need a Casely.
I do.
I'd like to know, are you on some kind of alert system where you find out like all of the new products in the world?
It's called Instagram.
Instagram.
It's really incredible. I'm catching a lot of heat on the gram about, oh, looks like you were influenced by Rebecca again. And I'm like, look, I can't help it that that girl knows everything about everything, and I think it's her fault. I see those ads,
and I swipe on up, then I share with everyone. It's how it works, how the world goes round.
That's what I always say.
Thanks for keeping it spinning, Rebecca, with your purchases. I think you may be wrong about that, but whatever floats your boat.
All right, so it's my turn. Sarah Bareilles. I'm a super fan of her. And I've talked about it before, but I didn't realize I heard her on a podcast and we had a lot in common. And she's in my range. And I mean, I'm in her range, really. She's just magical. And I found her audiobook and I was like, let me try this. It was such a good book. I was in the shower and I was listening to like the intro. She's talking about how hard it was to write a book. It just didn't come naturally to her and she was having the hardest time. And then she started singing and I just burst into tears. The book is called Sounds a Lot Like Me. It's a bunch of essays that she wrote and she sings and she like breaks down the song. So I'm getting emotional, like talking about, I don't know why, just the music.
You love her.
And the book marrying together was so wonderful. That's and neat. Unique. So every essay is kind of like starts with a song, like, well, this is that period of my life. And
that sounds like an amazing audiobook. Like you wouldn't get the same experience by reading that.
No.
No.
I love that idea.
Yeah. She talks a lot about maybe like body dysmorphia, right? Where you just are wildly outside of what is reality with your body.
That's what it is.
She's just so real and relatable. And she also has foot fungus.
Oh, this has come full circle.
You got it on purpose, didn't you?
No, it was actually all in the same weekend. I found out about her foot fungus and I grew my own, which is two fungus prone altos.
Can you please make that the name of this episode?
That's
thank you.
The title right there. Yeah.
Sibling conflict or.
Oh, and at the very end, she has bloopers of her reading the audiobook. It's explicit, but hilarious. And she's just so wonderful.
Can we tell everyone that you're making a blooper reel for Mom Struggling Well?
Yes. And it was your idea.
Well, we don't need to say that part. But I love blooper reels. I would just like listen tons of blooper reels.
Best. So starting now, I mean, I'm not going to go back and find them, but starting now. And so it'll be a while, but I don't know what we'll do with them, but we've got them. We're saving them.
I love it.
Yeah.
Could they be like at the end of each episode?
That'd be fun too.
Yeah, they could be.
Okay, so I made an appointment when I get off of here. Things are not, I have so many things going on right now. I'm not able to keep up with the amount of things going on. What I am taking comfort in is that I didn't do this to myself. A lot of times I overschedule myself, so I'm so busy. I didn't do any of this. And so I'm at least like, well, it's not my fault. So I'm just like going through things and I can't keep up with the amount of things happening. But I'm at least not also shaming myself for it, which is nice. Right. So anyway, that being said, even though I'm incredibly busy, I'm taking some time out after we get off of this and I'm going to the Peloton store to see about one.
Yay!
Let's see, because we have a showroom right by my house.
It's because I started that hashtag, isn't it? And you want to be a part of it?
Yes, that's the actual only reason. No, I think that it would be good. And this is me being very healthy. I haven't already bought one. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I've been thinking about it, even though, can I tell you, Rebecca said, just buy it now, because she happened to text back to us in the middle of the night. It was like 2:30 or something for me. And I was on call, so I have to have my phone really loud next to my head. And so
did I wake you up?
You surely did. Well, then I'm like, hey, let's just chitter chatter. and so I was like, hey, I think I'm going to buy a Peloton. Anyway, and she told me I should do it immediately because as a middle of the night purchase. So I just want you to know that she's influencing me badly.
But you're resisting.
I'm resisting. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh my gosh.
So
nice job.
Anyway, I'm going to go afterwards and I'm probably going to buy it.
Delayed influence.
Yeah, I think so. I think that my husband being at home, like I tried to join the gym, but I just won't go. And so Eric being at home, though, working from home, he could also do it. I'm going to be having shoulder surgery in about 6 weeks. I went to the guy and he's like, yeah, you've got problems. And then he said, since you didn't have an injury, but you have this problem, he goes, this is like a deeper problem. You're going to have to go get like a full workup. So I'm like, okay. Mm. So anyway, I think I want to do something that's like good for me and at home, and I'm kind of excited about it.
I think you'll like it. We'll have to figure out how to work out together. There's now an update where you can video with each other while you work out. I think I've seen it. I haven't tried it or figured out how to do it, but that would be so much fun.
Yeah. Okay. I think that would be really fun. And you can try it for 30 days and then send it back if you want. So I might do that.
You can.
If you could taste this bacon from moinkbox.com, you would order it right now. But for now, I'm the one seeing it and tasting it. It's delicious, and I'm telling you, you've got to get moinkbox.com. Moink delivers grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, direct to your door, helping family farms become financially independent outside of big agriculture. Their animals are raised outdoors, their fish swim wild in the ocean, and Moink meat is free of antibiotics, hormones, sugar, and all the other junk that you find prepackaged in the meat aisle. Sign up at moinkbox.com/show to get a year of ground beef for free, and then pick what meats you want delivered with your first box. Change what you get each month and cancel anytime. This box was full of the most delicious meats I have ever experienced. My husband Eric could not stop going on about the steaks, and I think even Rebecca wouldn't mind the smell of the bacon that's hanging around my house, and that's saying something. Moink was founded by an 8th-generation farmer who was featured on Shark Tank. Host Kevin O'Leary said, "It's the best bacon he's ever tasted," and I agree. And Jamie Siminoff, creator of the Ring video doorbell, invested in Moink. They guarantee that you'll say, "Oink, oink, I'm just so happy I got moinked." They guarantee you'll say that. So look, I've been moinked, and I think it's high time you get moinked as well. Join the moink movement today. Go to moinkbox.com/MSW right now, like this very second. You can pause the show, we'll wait for you, because moms who are struggling well get free ground beef for a year. You know your kids will eat ground beef. They will eat most nothing else, but they will eat some ground beef. So yes, you heard that right. That's 1 year of the best ground beef you'll ever taste, but it's for a limited time. So it's spelled moinkbox.com/MSW. That's moinkbox.com/MSW.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation, we can all be found on the gram. I'm at Kate Ordway.
I'm at Rebecca Smith Online.
And I am at Mom Struggling Well. So what will your strategy be to struggle well based on what we talked about this week? Maybe struggle well this week by knowing that all our kids fight. It is normal. Yeah. It is not bad. And maybe you are like me and Katie and you march on in at moment one. Maybe you're like Rebecca and you can handle it for 3.5 hours until fire starts coming out of your ears. But just know that, yeah, everybody fights and that's okay. Maybe you'll look into the parenting resources that we discuss. They'll be in the show notes for you to refresh your memory. Maybe you use the thing. Would you like a consequence or a conversation? I love that.
Yeah.
That suggestion. Really good. Maybe you try the lemon Kit Kats because they were worth it. They were really good.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you invent a plunger alternative because Rebecca is currently covered in excrement. Let's fix that for her.
Shiitake mushroom.
Oh my goodness. But also go to the doctor. If something seems a little bit wrong, please go see about it. Mm-hmm. Do us a favor, though, and share this episode, please, with your friends who you've seen their kids and they fight bad. Your recommendations really do help us out and they mean the world to us. So please do it.
And make sure you're subscribed to the show so you don't miss the next main show coming in 2 weeks, where I'm so excited. We're going to be talking about fashion. And we have a fashion expert that we are bringing on board.
So good.
Literal fashion expert. So I'm very excited to chat with her.
I love it. Yay.
All right, guys. Bye.
Bye. Next week. In this together.
You're just mom struggling well. And clap. There we go.
Okay, great. Glad we got it.
Hold on. I lost my Google Doc.
That's okay. Oh, Rebecca can't clap. Oh, she's falling asleep.
I can't clap. I'm sorry. I could hit my head against the microphone.
Spit on it.
Do we need to know the next show topic? Oh, it's fashion. Sorry, I'm so blind. Catching up. Caught up now. Welcome back, friends. You are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. The podcast that helps...
One Strug suggested the account Our Mama Village on Instagram.
What was it called? Our Mama?
No. Our Mama Village.
Our Mama Village.
As long as it's not a bunch of boobies, we're fine. I'll take that out.
First glance, no boobs.
Okay, we're good. Okay.
Oh yeah, this looks good. Educational. Okay. I might follow them. Follow.
Woof.
Wow.
All right. I think we've done it. Have we done it?
We did it.
We didn't, or we didn't?
No, we did it.
Okay.
We did it.
Scratch all that.